2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 3 through 11 to begin today. It tells us this. His divine power. Whose power?
His.
That's God's, all right? His divine power has given us. So who's it given it to?
Us.
Everything. Would we get?
Everything.
All right, so that's where we're starting. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Lost my own spot. Let me find it real quick. My page flipped over on me. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And come on, that's what we all desire. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word as always as we come to it. We thank you, Lord God, that it equips us, that we grow through it, that it strengthens us. And I pray that that will be the fruit of today. I pray that you would anoint me, Lord God, as I preach your word. And I pray, Lord God, that it will give us all that you have in store for us. We know your word never returns void. We ask these things in the strong name of Jesus. Church, would you pray with me? Father, help me to grow in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. My wife and I have some great friends. It's a family, in fact, and this picture is a little dark because we took it at night, but you sure can't see Charles's teeth, though. Yeah, so Pastor Charles Moody, he actually came to faith and committed his life to Christ at our church in Yonkers, and he worked at Allstate at the time, and early on in his walk, he started growing fast. We could just see a call of God on his life, so we brought him on staff in our church as our academy principal. We had an academy in Yonkers, and then after serving in that role for a couple of years, we actually shifted him, and he was our youth pastor for several years in the church. I have mentioned him before because he will be with us for our All Nations weekend. Since that time, God called them to head to Chicago, where they planted a ministry out there that is going fantastic. And I'll tell you, Chicago is, if you see the news, like last weekend, I think there were 41 shootings in Chicago, several people killed. That's just another weekend in Chicago. And most of it happens in the Inglewood area, and these guys are right there in the heart of it. They are there. Youth programs, after school programs, working with kids. They are on the mission field. It's tremendous what they have going on. So we've known the Moody for many years, Charles and Kahende. The boys are Joshua and Josiah, Josiah being the younger. And when we were all in the same city in Yonkers, back when the boys were small, when Charles and Kahende would go away, the boys would often stay with Sarai and I, and vice versa. Our sons would stay with them if we had to go away, and it's always nice having another family you can swap kids with. So we lived in other cities. So one weekend, Joshua and Josiah, when they're around this age, trust me, they weren't dressed that sharp when this happened, what I'm about to tell you, but they were staying with us, and I was riding down the road, and they were in the back seat of the car, and I don't remember where we were going. I just remember in the midst of the silence, Josiah, the younger boy, broke the silence with these words. He said, you know, when you're the pastor, you don't really have to do anything. Now, he wasn't speaking to me. He was speaking to his brother. But I was about as far away from him as that keyboard, because I was in the front seat and he was in the back. He says, you know, when you're the pastor, you don't really have to do anything. And his brother was very quick to jump to my defense. And Joshua said, that's not true. When guests come to the church, you have to take them to lunch. And I said, that's what you think I do? That's what... It is part of what I do, I suppose. And I remember the first time I ever did it. The first time I ever did it, I was a recent graduate from Bible college. I was on staff at a church in New Jersey. We had a missionary who was there on an evening service, and when it was done, the pastor came over to me and said, "Can you take him out to get something to eat?" And I said, "Well, I can, but I don't have any money." Now, when I said I don't have any money, I didn't mean I don't have any money for this. I meant I don't have any money. Are you with me? I mean, I had none, and I didn't. I had no money. Well, straight out of Bible college. I'd only been there a few weeks. I had nothing. I didn't have any money. I said, "I don't have any money." And we didn't have a credit card. We didn't have anything. We had nothing. I was like, "I don't have any money." So he reached in his pocket, and he pulled something out, and he reached out. And you know what a Pentecostal handshake is, right? Anybody know what a Pentecostal handshake is? Come on, that's where you got a little something in there, if you will, to bless somebody. So he reached out and he shook my hand, and I could feel the money in his hand, and I just took it and I put it in my pocket, but I didn't look at it. I didn't look at it. So we leave, old boy is right. So we leave, and I go to the restaurant, and it was simple. We each got a couple slices. We just went to a local pizzeria. It's just me and this other guy. Got a couple of slices of pizza. We each get a soda. The server brings the check to the table. I look at it. I think it was like $14 or something. Like this was not a big time deal. I reach in my pocket to pull out the money, and I have a $10 bill. He gave me a $10 bill. And I'm thinking, he thought we were ordering off the dollar menu at McDonald's or something. I don't know, like 10 bucks. So I'm standing there, I was like, I didn't know what to do. So I sat there for a moment, panicked, because I don't know what to do. And then finally, I speak up, and I actually say to this guy who's headed to the mission field, "Do you have any money?" "Do you have any money?" "Yeah," I said, "I'm sorry, but I only have $10 with me, and this is, you know, $14 or something." He was like, "I don't have any money." And he was as broke as me. He had nothing. He said, "I don't have any money." And I was like, "Oh," I said, "I could pay you back. We'll pay you back." "No." And I said, "Do you have a card we could put it on? I know the church will reimburse you." "I don't have a card. I don't have any money. I have nothing." So here we were, two guys sitting in the restaurant with $10 and a $15 check. So we made a run for it. Not really. So I'm sitting there, and so I left him. I left him in the restaurant. And I said, "I know at the church in the youth room there was a box where we had sold some snacks, and I remember there was still some cash in it." So I went back to the church to scrounge up a few singles and some change to come back, left him in the restaurant, had to drive back to the restaurant to pay the check so that we could get out of there. It was my experience there. I did not have what I needed. It's an uneasy feeling to not have what you need. To not have what you need. But I want you to catch today that in your walk with God, that does not happen. You have what you need. I just read it to you in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. It says, "His divine power has given us everything we need." Everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Praise God. God has given us what we need. It began when you were given a measure of faith. When you began a walk with God, a relationship with God, God gave you a measure of faith. Faith was dropped in your heart as a gift from God to believe in Him. We didn't save our own souls. We made a decision to say yes to Him, but God was who drew us. The Holy Spirit drew us. Jesus paid the price. God gave us a gift of faith in order to save our souls. Ephesians 2:8, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God." Aren't you grateful for the gift of salvation? Amen? So God gave us this gift of salvation. And then after God gave us this gift of salvation, He gave us what we need in order to live for Him. He gave us what we need. Part of that's His Word. Part of that, of course, was salvation itself. He gave us what we would need to live a godly life. Now, Peter then goes on, after he says that, to explain this in verse number 4. He says, through this, His glorious goodness, He has given us very great and precious promises. So He's given us what we need for life and godliness. He's given us very great and precious promises so that through them, verse 4, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. That's a big one. Let me put that one up. I had it there. No, I'm sorry. Actually, I'm going to go back to that verse. So you guys can back me up. So this is God's plan. We come to Christ, we come to faith in Him, God gives us what we need, then He gives us these divine promises, and God does this because He wants us to participate in His divine nature and to escape the corruption of this world. So because it says of this world, we're not talking about heaven right now, we're talking about life on earth, all right? Are you with me? We're talking about life here on earth. Life on earth, the plan of God is that during my life on earth, I would participate in the divine nature of God and that I would escape the corruption of this world. It is not God's plan that you would come to faith in Christ and then afterwards you would live a mediocre, beat up life where you struggle with sin and you're never an overcomer and you never grow in your... That was never God's plan. That was never God's plan. God's plan was that we would come to faith in Him and then that we would increase and that we would walk in victory and that we would be overcomers as the children of God. Are you with me? That's God's desire for you. That's God's plan. His plan is growth. His plan is increase along the way. And Peter lays this out for us here in this text. And I want to show it to you in a way that's going to be a little different than normal. And hopefully you could see this in the back of the room. If you can't, then you can call and get your prescription checked. Faith. The Bible tells us that God has given to each of us a measure of faith. So we have faith to believe, right? We read it there as well in Ephesians 2:8, where it is by grace that we have been saved through what? Through faith. It's a gift of God, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. So God has given us this gift of faith. This is where it starts. This is where our walk with God begins. Our walk with God begins as a walk of faith where we say, God, I believe in You. By faith, I believe You'll forgive me of my sins. By faith, Jesus, I believe You live in my heart. I don't believe these things because I got a warm, fuzzy feeling. I don't believe these things because I floated. I believe these things how? By faith. By faith, I believe that they're true. I believe. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, right? To forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when I ask God to forgive me, why do I believe I'm forgiven? By faith. Because that's what God's Word says. So we start all this off by faith. Now, I don't know how many mathematicians there are in the room, but Peter does a mathematical equation than in the text. Are you good at math? Nobody wants to raise their hand. You're like, don't raise your hand. The teacher will call on you. What's 6 plus 5? You're off to a good start. What's 12 plus 9? You're not doing bad. What's 132 plus 611? Peter says we understand the concept of addition, okay? It's addition. He says you're going to add to your faith is what Peter says here. He says, for this reason, because we've been given faith, because God's plan is that we escape the corruption of this world and we live a godly life, we participate in the divine nature, because that is God's plan, Peter says, listen, after God gives you faith, you need to add some things to it is what he says. The first one he says is you need to add goodness to it. There's some nasty people who give their lives to Jesus. There's some people who give their lives to Jesus who aren't good at all. They don't have any good about them. Here's the great thing about giving your life to Jesus Christ. You could come in and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. And you're a real louse. And guess what? God forgives you of your sin and saves you and makes you new. Amen? You don't have any goodness yet, but you're already saved. Peter's not talking about things to do to get you to heaven. He's not talking about getting to heaven. You're getting to heaven because of what Jesus did and if you believe in Him. Peter's talking about your life after you commit yourself to Christ while you're still on earth until you get to heaven. He's talking about escaping corruption in this earth. So if I'm going to escape corruption in this earth after God gives me faith, then I'm going to have to add goodness to my walk with God. It's the fruit of the Spirit. That means my life's going to change. There's some folks who've given their life to Jesus. They have faith, and they're still rude as they can be. They're not nice. They're just grumpy. They're irritable. They're not people you would even want to be around. They're troublemakers. Not at this church. I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about at other churches, all right? Not here. Not here. But in other churches, and you know them because you work with them and go to school with them. So you can tell them what I said today when you see them this week because they're not here. But there are some people at other churches who they believe in Jesus, but then they don't become good. There's no goodness. They forget to add goodness to their... Now, Jesus gave me salvation, but I was supposed to add this one, all right? I was going to then begin to change and grow in him. And he says, okay, so we come to him and we're going to add goodness. And then Peter keeps going. He said, oh, by the way, not only are you going to add goodness to your faith, you're also going to add knowledge. How am I going to add knowledge? Talk to me. How? I'm going to read the scriptures, right? I'm going to read the scriptures. See, when I came to faith in Christ, I say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Make me new. He did. How much do I know now about the Bible? I didn't grow up in church. I knew nothing. I don't know anything about it. I haven't added knowledge. In order to add, so here's the thing. You're a believer. You're going to heaven, but you don't even know how to live for God. You don't even know what to do. So Peter says, after God gives you faith, you gotta add goodness and you gotta add knowledge. So that means you're gonna read your Bible and study it. That means you're gonna do what we're doing right now, right? We're gonna come to church and we're gonna be taught. We're gonna get in a Bible study. We're gonna read good Christian books or literature that'll help equip us. We're gonna listen. We're gonna grow is what we're gonna do. We're gonna increase in our knowledge of Him rather than just not know anything along the way. And then he keeps going. He said, "Oh, by the way, don't forget this one. Make sure you add self-control." Uh-oh. He starts taking it up a notch here. Add self-control. See, before you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you just lived a life of sin. Didn't mean anything. But then we come to faith in Christ, and he says, make sure you add self-control to your life now. It used to be, before you came to faith in Christ, that you got aggravated with somebody. Somebody cut you off in traffic, and you blessed them. You blessed them in the name of Jesus. God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. You blessed them when you were out there. Used to be like that. Used to be that you were in, and the waiter got your order wrong, and you were nasty with them. And or it used to be you were at work, and people were breathing down your neck, and you got mad, and you yelled at people because you couldn't control your temper. Used to be that way. That's who we used to be. Peter says, no, after God gives you faith, if you're going to live for him, make sure you add some self-control. Make sure you add some self-control to yourself along the way. We're growing in this. Who cooks? How many of you cook? Where are your hands? Anybody cook? My wife's the better cook than me, but I can hold my own. I can hold my own, right? Yes, I can. I made dinner last night. She ate it. She's still here, so it's all right. Yeah. Everybody's like looking at her, trying to see her face or something. Watch a video later. I know exactly how much time to set for the Hot Pocket. 2 minutes, the Hot Pocket comes out, lava hot on the outside, frozen solid in the center, and then you just wait until it thaws out. So I know exactly how long to do it. So, but I'm more of a baker than a cook. I like to bake. So one of the things I love to bake is brownies. I love brownies. And I do all right with them, actually. So I have to be careful not to make them too often, but I like them. So I'm making brownies one time, and I've played around with recipes. And one time I'm making brownies, my sons were all there, and I realized I don't have any eggs. So rather than just going to the store to get eggs, I get creative and I look up online, what can I use instead of an egg? I do not recommend this, but I did it. So I came up with some crazy formula of this much oil and this much of this and whatever, and you mix it all together, and supposedly you got yourself an egg. Trust me, it doesn't really work well. But I did it, and I put it in, and I put the brownies in the oven, and we baked them, and we came out. How did they taste? They were terrible. They were terrible. My sons are like, Dad, and your brownies are good. These brownies, I didn't add what I was supposed to add. That's what Peter's talking about here. Putting in what we're supposed to put in. So he says, you put goodness in, you put knowledge in, you put self-control in. What's the next one? Perseverance, I think. He says, put in perseverance. We're not quitters. Are you with me? Listen, walking with God isn't always easy. Perseverance. It's a math equation, not a spelling test, so don't hold me on it. Yeah, he said, you're gonna put perseverance in there as well. Because sometimes walking with God's going to stress you or try you or test your faith, but you're saying, you know what? I'm not going back. I'm not going back, right? What did Jesus say? Man, you put your hands to the plow, we're not looking back. We're not turning back. We're living for him. So God gave me faith, but then I add to it, you know what? I'm in this thing. I add a holy resolve to live for him. And then he says, also add godliness. Add godliness to your faith. You don't have to have a WWJD bracelet, but you're gonna start to act like Christ. It's going to be, I'm going to be in a situation and I'm going to want to know, man, how would Jesus want me to respond in this situation? What would Jesus want me to do if this was happening? If I was going through this, if I was facing this, I'm going to add godliness and become more like him. Then he says also, there's a couple more. He says, add brotherly kindness. When we first come to faith in Christ, we don't even necessarily know the body of Christ. Especially if we came from outside the church and we weren't in it. So we come in and we're just there and we have to add this. So what happens is we add to the faith that he gave us a love for the body of Christ. So now I know, wow, I need to be there for my brothers and sisters. They're going to be there for me, right? I'm going to pray for them. If they're in need, I'm going to do what I can to help them out and encourage them when they come in. And I want to be there for them. And then the last one, of course, is a strong one where he says, add love. Add love. So, I'm going to heaven with this. Are you with me? This is all I need. He's given me everything I need. I'm going to heaven with faith. But after I come to faith, add goodness, add knowledge, add self-control, add perseverance, add godliness, add love, add these things. Here's the result of it. Back me up on my iPad if you can. I never know how to back myself up to 1 Peter 2:8. There we go. Look what he says here. For if you possess these qualities, so he's talking about, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who wants to be an ineffective, unproductive Christian? Of course not. Nobody comes to faith and says, you know what? I want to be a real loser for the kingdom of God. No. He says, we add these things. In other words, I could be a child of God. I can have received faith and still be ineffective and unproductive. Where am I going when I die? I'm going to heaven. Going to heaven. But I'm ineffective and I am unproductive for the kingdom of God and in the body of Christ. But that was never God's plan for your life. The plan of God was that we would add to our faith so that we would be, that's not a plus, that's an equal, so that we would be effective and we would be productive. Somebody say grow. God wants us to grow. God doesn't just want us to be saved. God wants us to grow. It is his plan for us. He says this, I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Fruit that remains. God wants every one of his sons and daughters to be effective and to be productive. Tell somebody that's you. Make sure they're awake. Tell somebody that's you. Now, he has given us all we need to get this started. He's done that. But Peter reminds us to add these things. Can't save our own souls. But although I cannot save my own soul, I do have a lot to do with my spiritual growth. So only Jesus can save me. But I am a part of my growth spiritually and what I do as I add these things in my walk with God so that I increase in him. When we don't add to our faith, we become ineffective and unproductive. When we don't add to our faith, we become like the fig tree that Jesus cursed. Now here's a picture of a fig tree. Jesus is walking with his disciples and he sees off in the distance a fig tree. And when he sees it, the Bible specifically mentions there being leaves on it. And he goes over to the fig tree to get some fruit. So he heads over there to get some fruit. Now the Bible does say the tree was out of season. However, if you know fig trees, we know that there's still fruit on the tree when it's out of season. It's just not ripe yet. And people would still eat it. People would still eat it. It's tart. It's like a sour thing. But they would still eat it. And here's the thing about a fig tree. Unlike a lot of plants, on a fig tree, the fruit starts growing before the leaves start growing. So whereas another tree would be filled with leaves and then fruit would come, a fig tree already has a fruit beginning and then the leaves come. That means if there are leaves on the tree, what should there be? Fruit. If there's leaves on the tree, there should already be fruit on the tree. So Jesus goes over to this tree, and in order for there to be fruit, it would have to already be at least 2 or 3 years old. They start bearing fruit somewhere around 3 to 6 years. I'm not really a fig tree expert. I look these things up. So he goes over to this tree. When he gets to the tree, there's no fruit, so he curses the tree. He curses the fig tree then when he gets there. Here's the thing. The tree looked great on the outside, and yet it was ineffective, and it was unproductive. When I don't grow, I become like the fig tree. I can put my Sunday go-to-meeting clothes on. I can dress up. I can comb my hair. I can make myself look nice. I can look good on the outside like the tree, but the fact of the matter is, I'm not really being productive. I'm not really doing anything for the kingdom of God. I look good. I look all right. I look the part, but I'm not really effective in my life for Him. That isn't what God had in mind for you. It isn't what God had in mind for me. What God had in mind for us is that we would add to our faith and we would become effective and productive in our walk with Him. He chose us, why? To get some leaves and look good on the outside? No. He said, I chose you to bear fruit. To bear fruit that will last. That's why God chose us for His kingdom. In that situation, I become someone who needs to add to my faith. Now, there is the most adorable baby that you've ever seen, right there. So she's so much cuter than your children or grandchildren or anything. And she is my granddaughter, Isabella Elena. And she, everybody say, oh, it's true, yeah. She's so pretty. So she's this beautiful little girl, and there she is, and posing for the camera. And I don't know who that home mom, that rough-looking guy, but anyway, so there I am with Isabella Elena. She's still, she's a little bit older than this now, but she's still just months. She's like 9 months old. 9 months old. She doesn't do anything. She doesn't do anything. She doesn't wash the dishes. She doesn't run the vacuum. She doesn't shop. She doesn't walk the dog. She doesn't do anything. The only thing she does is she poops her diaper. She throws up. She cries. She makes messes. She's pretty much worthless. She doesn't do anything. She doesn't walk. She doesn't speak English. She doesn't speak any language. She's just there. She doesn't do anything. So here she is. The thing is, Isabella Elena doesn't do anything other than just kind of be there and consume, but she can get away with it because of one primary reason. She's so cute. She's so cute. A baby is so cute that it doesn't matter that they don't contribute because they're so cute. They're so adorable. Nobody comes up to the baby and is like, come on, why are you even here? Like, what's your point? No, they're so cute. We just walk up and we're like, look at the baby. The baby's so cute. And they're adorable. And it doesn't matter. They don't do anything. Yeah, you ever seen a lazy teenager? Ever seen a lazy teenager, a young adult? Ever seen picture with me a 19-year-old who's not in school and doesn't have a job and lays on the couch all day eating the food, playing video games, and doesn't do anything. There ain't nothing cute about that. That's not cute. You could do nothing if you're cute. But if you're 19 years old laying on the couch with no job and you don't go to school, you ain't cute. So you can't get away with it. Because you're not cute. The whole cuteness factor is gone. You lost that. So now there is an expectation that you are contributing to what is happening here because you're not new anymore. You're not cute anymore. When I first came to faith in Christ, I come to church. I come in. I pray with someone to give my life to Jesus. I'm excited. Everybody is so excited I'm there. So excited about it. They're like, look at the baby. Look at the baby. He's so cute. I come back tonight. I don't do anything. I don't sweep floors. I don't teach a class. I don't sing. I don't move chairs. I don't help with anything. I don't do anything. Nothing. I'm brand new. I come back the next week. I've been there a few weeks. I walk in the door. I do nothing. When I walk in the door, how do they react? He's back. They're so happy I'm there. Same way we are with someone who's new. He's back. Look at the baby. Look at the baby. He's so cute. I don't have to do anything when I'm new. You know why? Because I'm cute. Because I'm still cute. But here's the thing. As you start growing and getting a little older, it all starts changing. And guess what? You ain't cute. So when you've been in church for years, and you're like the fig tree that you look good on the outside, but you don't bear any fruit, and you show up, and you come in, and you're like, well, I don't do anything. And somebody said, what do you do at the church? You say, oh, I keep this seat warm right here. This is a seat I keep warm right here. We don't need anybody to keep this seat warm. Hello. Nobody needs anybody to keep the seats. The seats are fine. The temperature they already were before you got here. So we don't need anybody to keep this seat warm. Say, no. When we grow spiritually, we begin to become effective and productive. And the plan of God is not to just fumble along. The plan of God is to participate in the divine nature, to escape the corruption of this world, and to be effective and productive in our walks with God. Are you with me? That was what God had in mind for us. God didn't have in mind to save my soul and then I just squeeze into heaven by the skin of my teeth. The plan of God is that God would save my soul and then I would add to my faith and I would grow spiritually in Him and you would grow in Him and we would become effective and productive members of the body of Christ in the kingdom of God who are participating with what God is doing in the earth and who have escaped the corruption of this world. Not, I've been saved for years, and I'm still just fumbling along, beat up by sin, and don't do anything, and I don't really accomplish anything for the body of Christ, or don't use my gifts, or how God has gifted me, or anything. That isn't what God has in mind for any of us. The plan of God is that we would increase. Like newborn babies, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that you can stay a baby? No. So that by it, you may grow up. Tell the person next to you, grow up. Look back at him and say, you need to grow up. All right. So that you may grow up in your salvation. The plan of God is that you would grow up. The plan of God is not that I say a spiritual baby. The plan of God is that I grow up in my walk with Him and I become effective in the kingdom of God. And we do this now that we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Praise God. And if you were to say to yourself, as I pull this together, Pastor, sometimes I feel like I don't really have what it takes to do that. This is tough. I don't know if I have what it takes to live for God. What did 2:3 say? 2 Peter 1:3 say? It says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and godliness. You have what it takes. If you are in a relationship with Jesus, you have what it takes to live for God. You say, well, no, I'm different. No, yes, you do. You have what it takes to live for God. Start adding to your faith. Not to save your own soul, so that you can grow up in your walk with Him and increase in your walk with Him. Amen? Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. God wants us to live in victory. God wants us to live as overcomers. God wants us to live having escaped the corruption of this earth. God wants us to live where we are effective in our walk with Him. God wants us praying prayers that change things. God wants us encouraging one another and strengthening one another and helping each other in the body of Christ and in our walk with God. In just a few short weeks, we will have a week where you will have opportunity to connect with a lot of our ministry teams and ways to serve. There'll be opportunities for you to sign up and things like that and get involved. If you say, well, Pastor, man, I know I need to do this, but how do I connect? How do I use my gifts to help the body of Christ? We want to help you do that. We want to help you do that, to get connected and be who God created you to be, because we need you. We need for you to be you. We need for you to be you. The Bible says each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So everybody was given a gift. I can't do what you do. You don't do what I do. That's all right. That's why we're here together. Right? That's why we're here together, to do this thing together. So, and it's for the common good, so that the body of Christ is built up in our walks with Him. That's what we're going to do. Hey, we're going to pray a prayer. We're going to pray a prayer of conclusion here at this time. And before I pray, I want to ask you to pray a prayer where you commit yourself. Where you commit yourself to maybe continuing to grow up, and that's probably the case with most of us, or maybe it's new. Maybe you have faith in God, but reality is you're not really walking with Him, you're not really connected with Him. Right now it's time to say, you know what, God, I'm committing myself to growing up in you. Would you just begin to pray on your own initially? Hallelujah. Would you just pray there on your own? Come on, God gave you faith. God gave you faith, but maybe even you want to look at that list. Maybe we even want to look at that list because we want to be effective and productive and say, man, what do I need to add to my faith? Maybe you say, you know what? I need to add some knowledge. I've got to spend some more time in God's Word. Maybe you say, you know what? I need to add self-control. I'm still struggling with the same old junk. I'm allowing stuff in my life that ought not to be there. Maybe you're thinking about giving up and you need to add some perseverance. I don't know what it is. It could be different for all of us. It could be several for many of us. But the idea is that we would be effective and productive for the kingdom. for the kingdom of God. Effective and productive for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Come on, say yes to Him. Say yes to increase. Say yes to increase. And even though I mentioned it during the communion time, if you've joined us today and you're not in a relationship with Jesus, it won't do you any good to try to add these things until you've received the gift of faith. First things first, you need to commit your life to Christ. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. You begin right there. Begin right there. We start off as babies. Then we increase in Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. See, church, I've been a believer in Jesus Christ. I got saved in the month of August. In fact, it was August 7th, 1983. August 7th, 1983, I walked into a little double-wide trailer in Farmville, Virginia. Hadn't been to church in years. Sat on the back row. And I walked down an aisle and sat on the front pew at the end of that service. And a man came up and talked with me. And he prayed with me as I sat on that front pew where I began my relationship with Jesus Christ. And I will never forget that day. That's how I came in. But over the years, of course, I have grown in my walk with Him. But as that has happened, as I stand here today, I'm not today who I was 10 years ago. And prayerfully, 10 years from now, I will not be who I am right now. Are you with me? Where we're growing. We're increasing. We're adding to our faith. Not just stagnant and fumbling along. We're changing. We're being renewed. We're going deeper. We're increasing in our knowledge of Him and in our effectiveness and in our productivity for Him. That's God's plan for our lives. That's God's plan for your life and mine. Father, in the name of Jesus, we've stood today, Lord God, we're saying yes to You. We say yes to increase. We say yes to growth today, Lord God. We say yes to it collectively as a church, and we say yes to it personally as individuals, Lord God. We commit ourselves to increasing in You, Lord God. We will add to our faith what we need. Lord God, this week, Lord God, we're going to spend some time in Your Word. This week, Lord God, we're going to add some godliness and some goodness and some self-control in our lives, Lord God. We're going to add some brotherly kindness and love, Lord God. We're going to grow in You, Lord God. Because faith is the desire of our hearts, that which is the desire of Your heart. And that is that we would be effective and productive in our walk with You. In our walk with You. I pray, God, in the strong name of Jesus Christ. In the strong name of Jesus Christ. To You, the God who has given us everything we need for life and godliness. I pray that You will be with us along every step of the journey. We sure can't do it on our own. More of You. More of You. More of You at work. More of You at home. More of You in the classroom. More of You in the marketplace, Lord God. More of You. May we increase in our walk with You. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus Christ. And God being said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's grow. Amen. Let's grow. Let's live this thing. Let's grow in Him. I want you to go forth and have a victorious week in Christ Jesus. And where you don't measure up, you thank God for His grace, and you act in perseverance, and you keep on going. And let's live for Him. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week in Christ Jesus. Amen.